Open with me to a few places. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 37 first. This will be the story that illustrates our message. And then there's a couple psalms we can mention, and then also the book of Colossians that we'll work from. So Ezekiel 37, this is a lot of songs about this, a lot of messages maybe, if you heard about this. And it's a great, great passage. We're going to use it, out of context, of course, today. So we're going to use it as an application in our message. But let's read Ezekiel. If you've never read the book of Ezekiel, it's a great book to read and just wonder at and consider God speaking. That's what I want to speak about today. Words. Necessary words. Words that are needed in our life. Words that we need if we are unbelieving. Words that we need to lead us to Christ. But then as believers, words that we need, words that are necessary for our life. Psalm chapter 50. I'll read it to you. Like I said, we'll go to a couple psalms. Psalm chapter 50 verse 1 says this, "The mighty one, God, the Lord, has spoken." He's spoken. God has spoken. Isn't that amazing that God has spoken? You know what's amazing about God speaking? The fact that we have ears. Right? Isn't that amazing? We have ears. Why do we have ears? So we can hear. Thank you, Jackson. Right? So we can hear. God is speaking, and he's not speaking to somebody without the ability for them to hear it. God is speaking. So here in Ezekiel chapter 37, Ezekiel 37, this is Ezekiel again. He is hearing words from God, but then he is also speaking words for God as a prophet. And he has messages, and the result and the impact of the words that he uses, they have a great impact. And I'd like us to think of ourselves that way, that we have the ability to speak words that can impact people's lives. But the words that we speak are words that we have heard from God, words that we have read from the Bible, words of faith, words of grace, words of encouragement. These words are necessary in our own lives, but they're necessary in the body of Christ. So here it says in verse 1, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones." Okay, God takes Ezekiel, right? Have you ever prayed that the Lord would transport you like God transports Ezekiel? Just pick you up and move you, put you wherever you need to be. But he is there in a valley, and the valley is full of bones. "And he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry." Have you ever been in this condition where somebody comes to you and they say, "How are you doing?" And you say, "I feel like a pile of old dry bones, right? Like I have no vitality, I have no vision, I have no like stirring in me. I feel like a valley of dry bones." He said to me, verse 3, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Consider, have you asked yourself that question in the morning? You wake up. Have you ever woken up so like in love with God and so filled with the Holy Spirit that you're just ready to tackle the day? I love those days. And I say, oh, maybe I'm not awake. Is this really? But then some days you wake up and you're like confronted immediately with depravity. And like the devil is there leaning on the edge of your bed saying, "Good morning. Are you ready to play today?" And you're like, "Oh God, I don't have it in me. I don't have it in me. I'm like a pile of dead, dry, very dry bones." That's the way he described them, right? Very many bones in the valley and very dry. Oh. But what a question. God speaks to us. And he like provokes us. He doesn't just say, "Get, snap out of it." but he challenges us to think, and he challenges us to assess our situation and consider him in the middle of it. Can these bones live? And I love Ezekiel's answer. He says, "Thou knowest, Lord. You know. If you're asking me, and if you're asking, what do I have in the way of life? No, they cannot live. Can we just bury them now? Can we just move on from the whole experience? No, but instead we say, Lord, I have no idea, but you know. And I could say, Lord, I am thinking that since you are asking me if they can live, I think you are telling me that yes, they can. Like, isn't that like God to provoke us into spiritual thinking? Not to stay in the valley of very many bones? Because that's the other way we could look at it. We could look at it and assume that everybody else is like we are. Or we could be that there is something happening. Like, this happens in the church. This happens in our fellowship sometimes where there is like a difficult time as a whole. And you could go around, how's it going? Oh man, everyone's like, wow, this week, right? Have you experienced? I have. And it could be, but then what do? Do we look at the valley of many bones and say, well, it was a good run. You know, at some point we were good. Now we're all just drying out. Must somebody get the bulldozer in here and cover us up? No, let's listen to necessary words. Words that God asks. God is speaking. Psalm 50 verse 1. God is speaking. Hallelujah, I have ears. Wow. Simple. But challenging. Oh, if I have ears, maybe I should be tuned in to what God is speaking. Can these bones live? It reminds me of the woman in John chapter 4 where Jesus approaches her. And he just says, you know, can you get me some water? Like, so simple. But what he has a goal. He wants to get her to a conclusion, but he doesn't start there. It's too much. It's too overwhelming. Instead, he leads her and wakes up her spiritual curiosity and then leads her to the point of saying, give me this water, please. This way, Ezekiel, what do you think? Let me show you something, Ezekiel. Dry bones, many, many bones, very dry, very dry. Can they live? What an answer. You know, Lord. You know. Our life, our ministry to people is not to diagnose their problem, but our ministry to people is to lead them to the one who knows. To lead them to the one who has the words. And it could be that he gives us the words, like he gives to Ezekiel. Again, he said to me in verse 4, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. There's a song, isn't there? It gets a little, like I feel like I'm in the spin cycle when I'm listening to it, but I like the beginning of it, right? Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Right? Prophesy to the bones. What do I say? I will tell you exactly what to say. But Lord, look, it's a valley. There's so many and they're so dry. No, Ezekiel, it's not your words. It's my words and they're necessary words. He says, verse 4. O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord. What else can speak to death but God? Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. No, Lord, no, I'm dry. I don't know. I don't even have the ability to receive anything. Well, let me ask you, will you listen? Oh, okay. I could listen. I could hear. Okay, if you will hear, then allow those words to go in and allow those words to do their work in your life. Verse 6, I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know I am the Lord. Wow, what a gracious work. It is all God's work. I will, if you will listen, then these words will come and they will clothe you, they will cover you, they will put life in you, and they will put breath in your lungs. Indeed. Okay, so I prophesied. Wow, thank you, Ezekiel. Thank you, Ezekiel, for giving us a pattern, a simple, simple pattern, where God gives you words and then you communicate those words. And when you communicate those words, God's work is unleashed. Paul says this in the epistles, that there is a mystery of preaching. And there is a task of preaching. And by preaching and by communicating words, dry bones are covered. The sinews, what are those? The tendons and the ligaments and the muscles and everything. Have you seen the diagram of a human body? It's amazing. It's amazing. The way the ligaments hold are held together and the direction of the muscles and all that kind of stuff. It's amazing. It's the work of God. If it is deconstructed, what is that? What difficulty is there to Him? No difficulty to Him that He can put it together. Physically, He can do it, but also spiritually. If we feel like we are unraveled and unwound spiritually, the words of God are the things that put us together. Psalm 120, verse 7. I sent my word, and it what? Healed them. It healed them. This is what necessary words do in our lives. So I prophesied. I love it. So I did it in simplicity, in obedience, because I heard the word of God myself. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. There's a noise. You can imagine you'd never heard that noise before. And suddenly a rattling. Can you imagine being in the valley full of very, very many, very dry bones? And then like the whole valley starts to rattle. Like you go hunting, you rattle the deer antlers, right? To give off, that's like the whole valley rattling. And then all of a sudden, the bones came together, bone to bone. Imagine in the resurrection, it's going to be much like this. It says that our body will be changed like unto His. The dead in Christ will rise first. The bones will rattle. This is a little valley, a big valley, but little in the scale of the whole world. In the resurrection will be the whole world will be rattling with the life of resurrection. Oh my goodness. We could think of people whose bodies are gone. Right? I have a great uncle whose plane went down over the Pacific in World War II. And they don't know. Clayton Bates. He was a stud. I saw his picture recently. He's a good looking guy. I don't know what happened. It's been downhill since Clayton. Right? But he's down. What happened? What happened to Clayton? I don't know. But in the resurrection, there will be, God will put all of these things back together. You think of the believers who have been persecuted throughout the centuries, the bodies that were burned at the stake and into dust and off into the wind. What difficulty is there for Christ to resurrect that body? To take that little blotch of DNA and from that construct the whole person. Beautiful. To enjoy resurrection life and to enjoy eternity with Him. That's also here. The whole rattling. The bones come together bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews in the flesh came upon them. They had an exhibit years ago. It was traveling around the country, around the world, right? And it was like an anatomy project. Right? And I went with my sister because no one else would go with her. And it showed the human body. They had one display of just the nervous system. It was amazing. And then the layers of muscle, the tissue. But Ezekiel is there watching bones come together and then watching the construction of the human body. He's watching it all come together. Wow. Like, why? How? Why is it happening? Because He spoke words. We see this happen in lives, prayerfully. Right. Or prayerfully, we see this happen in lives, in discipleship, in salvation, that as we minister gracious words to people, loving words, merciful words, true words, that are given to us in the Bible, we see people coming alive. And we see people's countenance change. We see hope infused into them. We see value placed in them again. This is what Ezekiel is seeing as the physical body. Then the skin covered over them, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. To the four winds of the earth. So he did it again. So I prophesied, and as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. There is a valley of dry bones, and by necessary words, by gracious words, by words given by God, he speaks, and now there is an exceedingly great army, and there is hope. We have a great church, and we have a great mission. How do we view it? How do we view our significance? How do we view our words? How do we value people? But we all are part of building this army. Not an army to conquer, not an army to fight, but an army that would serve, an army that would go out in obedience and prophesy. We could say that. And prophesy in the way that God has given us words to preach. Preaching is prophecy. I'm not talking about telling the future. That's already been told. We don't need to do that. But I'm talking about saying the words that God has given. Words that are necessary for people. Like here we are, people walking across this earth with our ears. And we could be saying, what are these ears for? And we listen to music and we're not satisfied. We listen to a TED talk and we are curious and intrigued but not satisfied. We listen to a podcast and we say, that's so fascinating and entertaining, but I'm not satisfied. There are necessary words, and those are the words that satisfy. Those are the words that put breath in my lungs, and I say, oh my gosh, this is what I am for. Does anybody remember the story of the duck who lived on the street? Yeah, the duck, he lived on the street every day, pounding pavement, walking along, wondering why his little feet hurt so bad, wondering why everybody else's feet looked so different. And then one day he took a left and he found the harbor, and he hopped in the water. And his little legs kicked and he was like propelled across the water. And he said, oh, that's what they're for. Oh, that's what these things are designed. I've been using it wrong the whole way. Our ears are that way, where there is so much to listen to in the world, but it is not satisfying us. And then we hear necessary words. We hear God's words spoken. He is speaking, and then we hear it and we say, oh my gosh, that is what it is. That's what it means to hear. That's what it means to hear. And when I hear those words, life is infused into me and I feel the breath of God. And I say, oh, life, living, I need these words. So, verse 11, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. We are not hopeless. We are not dry bones. We are not cut off. This is speaking about the nation of Israel, that they are not in Jerusalem. They are not in their land. They are cut off. And this prophecy is giving hope to the nation of Israel that they would again be in Jerusalem. But the application for us is that we would understand that no matter what time period we are in the hand of God. And there isn't anything that can change that. There isn't anything that can affect that. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about the vaccine. If you want to get the vaccine, get the vaccine. If you don't want to, then don't do it. But there is stuff going around in Christianity that it is the mark of the beast, that it is some terrifying thing. It's not. If you are a believer, you can't get the mark of the beast. You won't be around for it, so don't worry. Don't let anxiety come in, right? Like we felt in the year, like the different stages of anxiety. And you feel like you graduated from one degree and you say, okay, I'm not anxious anymore. I think I've gotten over that. But then something else comes along, like another soccer ball is kicked onto the field, and you're like, oh no, I didn't consider that. Now I need to be anxious about that because Facebook is telling me to be anxious about it. No, go to the necessary words. The necessary words where God is speaking and he gives us peace. And it's okay. We're going to make it. And if we don't, then we'll be in heaven and hallelujah. But don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. We are not cut off. Right? Look at they say this and they could be victims. Our bones are dry. Our hope is lost and we are cut off. We might as well lay in the valley and be dry bones. No, hear the word of the Lord. And hear the word of the Lord. There are words spoken somewhere. God is speaking. Hear them. Be affected by them. Allow them to come into your ear and into your body and minister to you the grace of God. They are necessary. Therefore, look at that. Verse 11, that is their statement, right? Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we are cut off. That is what they are saying. Therefore, verse 12, therefore, because that statement is there, because anxiety is there, because fear is there, that is why it is necessary. Therefore, prophesy. Like, don't turn away from it. Don't hide from the dry bones. But that is why God has placed you there, so that you could speak to it, and you could speak something different. You could bring hope to a hopeless situation. How much of the world is hopeless? Even as a believer, I sometimes feel hopeless, and then I'm reminded of God's work, and I say, oh, forgive me, Lord, for doubting. I have great hope in you. Therefore, there is a necessity for our ministry in the world. Why? Because of the fear, because of the anxiety, because of the death, because of lost people. It is necessary that we would be in the world speaking and saying, no, there is hope. There is hope. You have been abused. I understand there is healing in Christ. And maybe you won't be justified here on earth, but you can be healed in Christ. You can learn to forgive. You can let go. Like there it is, it can cripple us. And it has. I've talked to people and they are crippled by it. And I have no answer, honestly, except the word of the Lord. Because people have been so wronged. But Christ came and he took that wrong so that we would have hope. And that's the hope of the resurrection. That's the hope of the ascension. That I am not left to me and my abuser and my abuse. But I am left to Christ. I have freedom in Christ. And I am delivered from all of that stuff. Oh, it's so necessary. These words, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, behold, I am speaking. That's what he's saying. Right? Behold, that's what I say in the house. Right? Behold, I am speaking. Right? Yeah, right. Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed, says the Lord. God is speaking. God, he will take, there is no dryness that he cannot quench. Like there isn't a point where that we are too far gone. There isn't a hopelessness that he doesn't reach into. We have it. We have his words. So turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Do we believe this? That the gospel has given us life? That the gospel has put spiritual life in us? Jesus said it to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus could be saying, look, I am born already. Look, I have the muscles and the tissue and the whole thing. It's all there. Why? You know, they're not there very big, but I have them. And he said, why do I need to be born again? Because, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And this is the life that I'm calling you to live in, a spiritual life. where you have resurrection life. So here in Colossians chapter 2, we see Paul speaking to the Colossians and reminding them of the work that Christ has done, and warning them not to be deceived or not to be cheated, is the word he uses. He says in verse 8, "Beware, beware lest anyone cheat you." Have you ever been cheated? You bought a bad car, a lemon, a bad trade, right? Lunch in the lunchroom when you're in school, you got a bad trade. Someone said they had chocolate chip cookies, so you traded, and they ended up being oatmeal raisin. And you say, "Oh man, I got cheated. I got cheated." It can be the same way in our faith, that there is a whole philosophy that would cheat me out of grace. And it is vanity. It is empty. And it will put me back in the valley of dry bones. We'll go backwards to verse 6. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." How did we receive him? We heard him. We heard a word. We heard a message. We read the Bible. We heard the John 3:16 or something. We heard it and we believed. And in believing in Christ, we were made alive. Continue that way. Continue listening to necessary words. Continue depending on him to put life in your bones. As we walk in him, we are rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Okay, rooted and built up. What is the root system? The root system of a tree is spreading out, and it is seeking nutrients, and it is sucking up every little bit of nutrients it can out of the earth. But you know what's interesting? In the forest, that you have all kinds of trees, don't you? Can anybody name a tree? Oak tree. Elm. Redwood. Pine. Maple. Birch. All right. We're all, huh? Cedars of Lebanon. All right. What is that, Tony? Mango. Ooh, mango. Love mangoes. Yeah, so they're all different types of trees. Maybe all the mango trees not in our northeastern place, but we can dream, right? I would love to have a mango tree in my backyard. It would just smell like a mango. But anyway, in the forest, the roots of the individual trees goes down. But then there is a fungus, and it networks all of the trees together. It's amazing. The forest works together. That if there is a tree that is not healthy, it will dump all its nutrients into this fungus that works as like a network cable, and it will dump all its nutrients in, and it will go and it will send it to the other trees to support their life. When there is a natural disaster or something, the trees actually send their nutrients into this root system, or this fungus system, and it stores it. And then when it's necessary, it sends it back up into the trees. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. The body of Christ is this way, where we are all individuals. We are so different, just like the trees are so different. But we have this, we work together. We support each other. And what is this? You know, we are all fungus linked together. No, we are all connected by these words. And these words, and we have the ability to send these words down the line to each other and speak to each other and encourage each other and build each other up in this faith, because the threat of the devil is always there. He is always there, and he is always looking to like dry us out. Daniel 7 says he attempts to wear out the saints. In the King James it says wear out the saints, right? To just suck every bit of nutrient out of you. Have you ever felt that way? You would feel like you're on fire with God, the Word of God. There is a lot of input. You were taking it in and you are being fed by it. But then at some point, like the spigot gets turned off, and then you use up what you have. And then you're like, what just happened? Have you ever felt like that? You feel like you're flying with the Lord. You're like, woohoo, nothing can stop me. And then all of a sudden you're like, pop, 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 pop. You stall and you say, what? How did I stall out in the middle of like the Negev desert or something? Like, why am I here? It's so dry. I have no hope. We need someone to come alongside of us and infuse us with some necessary words. Keep going by faith. Find worship. Like whatever it is, how have you been encouraged by a word in the church? We all have a testimony, I'm sure. Just a hello, I love you, or an encouragement, or a little like smack on the back and say, hey, keep going, continue. We need it. It is like a infusion to us. So that's like the rooting, rooted, and we are rooted. We send our roots deep into the word to suck up the nutrients and then send it up into the branches and to produce fruit and to glorify God. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Not wavering, not teetering, but established. Because my way of thinking, my way of acting is not sourced in the old dead bones, it's sourced in the Word of God. And when I have the Word of God directing me in my life, I am established. It helps me think. Like I don't have to approach the situation and wonder what to do about it. I think with God in it, and I am established. When the devil is sitting on my bed in the mornings waiting for me to wake up, I can dismiss him by words of faith, by truth. We said it Sunday night, Romans chapter 6, know, reckon, yield, obey. Like these are great things for us to remember, and they are great things that establish us. So when we are confronted, we don't have to fight. We simply speak the words that God has spoken to us, and they are unstoppable. Right? The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, we become familiar with it. Right? Like it could be that you have the sword, but you never pull it out of the sheath. And it's like you are more comfortable with it banging up against your leg than you are swinging it. But we are advancing in our faith, and we have the sword in our hand, ready to be used, ready to swing when it's necessary. And the shield is on our arm, and we are ready to hide behind it, the shield of faith, whenever those darts come flying. And when we have that, right, you are established in the faith as you have been taught, the teaching, the speaking of necessary words. Have we been taught in our lives? Ryan just said it, 25 years in the church, right? How old are you? Yeah, 25. I love that. Someone asked me that, how long have you been in the ministry? I said, over 30 years. Right? Over 30 years. It's great. Yeah, but we have been taught so well. Pastor Stevens has taught so well. Pastor Morrison taught so well. Right? And I'm learning. And we're going, right? And we have the words. And we have been taught. And by that, we have an abundance, and in that abundance, we give thanks. That is recognizing grace, I think. Like recognize, because of grace in my life, I have an abundance of thanksgiving. Because every turn I take, I realize I don't deserve it, but I have it. And I say, oh, hallelujah, thank you. And I just keep moving. And with that, beware, right? Beware. Lest anyone cheat you. There is an attempt to cheat me away from grace. Anything that is less than grace is cheating me out of it. There is an abundance of grace. An abundance. The dry bones are always looking. You will remember how dry you are. We say, no, I have an abundance of grace. It is more than enough. It is enough, and then it keeps going. That is the abundance that we have. How do they do it? Through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. The devil would love nothing else than to take my Christianity and make it some carnal practice. That would be his favorite thing. Go ahead, put the bumper sticker on your car, but live by vain philosophy and empty deceit. It says it this way in the end of the chapter, verse 23. He says, these things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. No value against the indulgence of the flesh. Somebody else might be impressed by it outwardly. You could get off a good impression. You could make people think that you're spiritual by saying the verse or having the buzzword, right? The Christian buzzwords. Don't we love those? We do. We have them. And we don't even know what we're saying, but we're saying something that other people say, so it sounds spiritual. But it's empty. It's empty. I want necessary words. I need something more. Because those things are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Meaning like when I wake up and the devil's there and he's like, hey, you ready to play today? And we say, you know, we come at him with like an empty religion. He's like, that's cute. That's for other people. That's for other people to see. I know that doesn't mean a thing. And I know you know that that doesn't stand up against me. I am going to throw you around like a rag doll today. Like when I come after the devil with like this vain philosophy, then he just laughs and he has his way. And the flesh is indulged. And I could be broken. And I could be frustrated. And I could be discouraged. What do I need? I need necessary words. Words that dry bones hear the word of the Lord. There are words of grace. There is therefore now no condemnation. Colossians 2:14-15. That he has blotted out every single transgression, every requirement that was held against me. He blotted it out and he nailed it to his cross and he triumphed over the devil in it. Those are necessary words. If the believer doesn't understand that his sins are forgiven and the devil is defeated, then he doesn't have a foot to stand on. But the weak, feeble, little believer that knows he is forgiven, he knows the devil's defeated, and he knows that he is standing in grace, can stand against the wiles of the devil. Not because of himself, but because the word of God. These words are necessary for us, and we use them. Right, we use them throughout the Bible. There are words. I read a psalm this morning, Psalm 51, right, verse 8. It says this: make me to hear joy and gladness. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Make me to hear, Lord, I want to hear joy and gladness. There is enough of the other stuff. I want to hear joy and gladness. These are necessary words. These are words that turn the tide. They change the whole way of my thinking. Philippians 4:8. Think on these things. And the words of God. Think on them. Be thinking on them. Be meditating on them. Thankfulness, joy will be coming. And it'll be stirring up in your heart. So, and then finally we move into ministry. That what do we have to offer people? Like people come into this building on a Saturday morning or Sunday morning, on a Wednesday evening, and they don't look around and say, oh yeah, these people have it all together. No. They come and they say, what can you say to me? What can you say? And we get phone calls and I talk to people and they say, what can I do? And then what can I do? I'm just a bag of bones too. But I know God's word and I've hidden it in my heart. And by his word, we minister to each other and you give somebody the word. And that word is the thing that affects them. So we have a ministry. Don't discount yourself. Don't like hide from the call of God in your life. He's got a great call. In simplicity, like Ezekiel, what did it say? So I prophesied. Hallelujah. You know, every significant person in the Bible has that sentence in there somehow. Abraham, leave. Abraham left. Moses, build. Moses built. No. Noah, build. Noah built. Right? Moses, go. Moses went. Like it's simple. It's simple. That's the formula. Listen and obey. and watch the word of the Lord churn things up in your heart. Amen? Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for your words spoken to us. Thank you for giving us ears to hear what you are saying. Help us to see you, Lord, high and lifted up. Help us to minister life to people. Give us wisdom with our words, what we say, how we say them, who we say them to, Lord. And just ask that we would be able to lead people closer and closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.